Blog Talk Radio.
I think really pretty obvious complaints of black Americans and rooms full of whites. There's nothing more difficult than this, because we have really, truly good white people in important positions. And the fact of the matter is that there are a limited number of those positions, and unless we are conscious of the need to have more people of color, gays, other people in those positions, we will not change the problem. All right. But we're in a position where you have to say who is going to step down so someone else can have power.
Who indeed? Who indeed is going to step down so that someone else can have power? Who in their right mind would do that? Why would I step down so you can have power?
The figures that I've seen indicate that roughly half of the American people are net recipients of benefits from the U.S. government. In other words, they don't pay taxes. They get things from the U.S. government. They don't give things to the U.S. government. This is very problematical, both for them, because their source of income is very insecure, but it's sociologically a time bomb, because you know how these people are going to vote. They're going to vote to get more things from the people that are giving it to them. I mean, it's an atmosphere of class warfare that's brewing in this country at this point, where most people have very little and very few people on top have a lot. And I don't know what the consequences of this are going to be when going gets tough, because one thing about financial and economic hard times, they always have political consequences, always. You can see what they were. What happened in the 1920s resulted in a wholesale reorientation of American society in the 1930s under Roosevelt. And this time, since the U.S. government is so much more important to the average American than it was back then, when it was a very small thing, when we have real economic problems, financial problems this time around, people are going to absolutely first thing look to the U.S. government. The average guy who doesn't have anything is going to look to the government and say, do something, do something. And by God, they are going to do something. And it's almost always stupid and destructive. So that political consequences of this looming economic catastrophe are going to be very bad, but it doesn't end there, because there are going to be military consequences too. I mean, this war against Islam, anything could happen. So this is big trouble.
All right. Good evening, folks. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Today's date, October 18th already.
We as a nation are headed for an economic
disaster. Yes, we are. Yes, we are, but not right now. Okay. What was I saying? All right, you're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. October 18th, 2011. Beautiful Alexandria, Virginia. Yes, right across the Potomac, looking down over at the Watergate Hotel. It's a beautiful night, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad to be here. October 18, 2011, Alexandria, Virginia, United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I am your humble host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. I reflect, earlier in the week, I was a bit introspective when it came to the song by Coldplay, Viva La Vida. And I remarked that, it sort of made me more conscious. Just listening to the song and listening to the lyrics caused me to become much more conscious of my own mortality, where I've been, the things I've done, both good and bad, mostly bad. And it caused me to reflect. It really did. For example, the first line of the lyrics is, I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning, I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own. I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing, now the old king is dead. Long live the king. Very powerful lyrics. They not only apply to me and to you, those of us who are achievers, those of us who have racked up a wealth of achievement in life and are reaching middle age like I am. I'll be 50 in just a couple of months. We understand these lyrics. We understand them all too well. But there's one other person who is right around 50 right now, who should understand these lyrics right about now, who should take heed to them. His name is President Barack Hussein Obama. He should listen to those lyrics. I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone, sweep the streets I used to own. I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing, now the old king is dead. Long live the king. Now, here's the deal. You heard just a moment ago in the opening segment, the opening part of the show, the FCC diversity czar calling for white folks, whitey, to step aside. Your time is done. You used to rule the world, white folks. And according to the Obama administration, you no longer do. Your time is up. Your 15 minutes are up. It's now time for Mexicans, Hispanics of every, I guess, you know, Hispanic folks. So we'll just that should cover all of them. And black folks, and maybe a few Asians, to go ahead and take control of this country. Your time is up, Mr. White Man. According to the Obama administration, the FCC diversity czar is saying that, hey, we need to go ahead and get some gays involved, a few Asians, a couple of chinks, a few wetbacks, and some Negroes to run this thing right now. Basically, that's what they're saying. Your time is up. Racist. Yes, it is. And that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. Black folks have long railed against racism. Racism is bad. There's no place in it. Why is the country so racist? Can't we all just get along? The content of your character and all that. But here we have black folks. Because we have a black president in office, and only because, exercising their perceived power by saying that white folks are no longer needed, that white folks are no longer a factor. And Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson Jr., and a whole bunch of these would-be leaders. I don't know who's labeling these folks our leaders, but some are saying that Jesse Jackson is a leader or has been a leader, and that Al Sharpton is a leader, that Jesse Jackson Jr. is a leader, our leaders. And here they are. Really what they're doing is they're exercising their own special brand of racism. Who is going to step down so that others may assume power? Who? We had Jesse Jackson earlier in the week saying that he wanted the president to exercise dictatorial powers, special constitutional powers, he said. Exercise extraordinary constitutional means based on the history of Congress, the Congress that has rebelled in the past, he said. He went on to say that Obama is looking administratively for ways to advance the causes of the American people because the Congress is completely dysfunctional. Basically, he's saying that the president of the United States, the first black president of the United States, is pretty much going to throw the Constitution out the window, bypass the Constitution, and go ahead and do his own thing. Yeah, let's see how that works out, Mr. Jesse Jackson Jr. I'd love to see how all that's going to go down. You know, have you gotten so arrogant, Mr. Jackson, to think that there are people who are just going to go ahead and stand for that just because he's the president of the United States? That the American people, you know, those other folks, are going to go ahead and let the president disregard the Constitution of the United States without taking some sort of punitive action against the government? We will have all-out, total, wholesale nuclear destruction in this country if Barack Hussein Obama and his minions like Jesse Jackson Jr. think that they're so arrogant enough that they're just going to wipe away the Constitution of the United States and just go ahead and do their own thing. Now, this fool, Jesse Jackson Jr., saying that, hey, his idea is to employ 15 million people at $40,000 a head. Yeah, let's see how that works out, Jesse. I love it. I'd love to see how that whole thing is going to play. Check it out.
President Barack Obama has asked his jobs council to identify areas of his jobs plan that can be implemented without congressional approval. Democratic Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. of the House Appropriations Committee says President Obama's proposal needs to go further, and he should act without Congress if necessary. The president has asked his jobs council to look at areas of the plan that could be implemented administratively without congressional approval.
Now we're making some progress. President Obama tends to idealize, and rightfully so, Abraham Lincoln, who looked at states in rebellion, and he made a judgment that the government of the United States, while the states are in rebellion, still had an obligation to function. On several occasions now, we've seen, quite frankly, the Congress is in rebellion, determined, as Abraham Lincoln said, to wreck or ruin at all costs. I believe, quite frankly, in the direct hiring of 15 million unemployed Americans. At $40,000 a head, some more than 40,000, some less than 40,000, that's a $600 billion stimulus. It could be a five-year program. For another $104 billion, we bail out all of the states. The problem within the states ends tomorrow for $104 billion. For another $100 billion, we bail out all of the cities. So for about $804 billion, we put 15 million Americans to work, we bail out the states, and we bail out the cities, but we do it through direct hire. We put people to work cleaning up communities. We put people to work through a civilian conservation corps, through a Works Progress Administration, because the hour demands it. And as more people work, they pay taxes. They pay taxes into the fourth quarter. They buy wares. They buy homes. They meet their obligations. And our economy begins to work its way out of this protracted recession. I believe that's the only way out of this crisis. And I hope that the president begins to continue to exercise extraordinary constitutional means based on the history of Congresses that have been in rebellion in the past. The president had the opportunity to exercise Section 4 of the 14th Amendment during the debt crisis. He chose not to help the United States honor its obligations because the Congress is in rebellion. When we recognize that the Congress is in rebellion, I think the president of the United States will follow the correct course. He's doing that now. He's looking administratively for ways to advance the causes of the American people because this Congress is completely dysfunctional.
So you would support some administrative actions as far as new spending, stimulus projects being implemented?
Absolutely. Declare a national emergency on the question of jobs and the economy. Declare a national emergency on the question of unemployment. But at the same time, recognize the size and the scope of the problem. If you recognize it, then as I've heard other economists in the Wall Street Journal and even the New York Times have suggested, that the president's jobs proposal is about 1/20th the size of the problem. So we haven't truly provided a national cause that generates the kind of mass appeal behind the jobs program that's necessary. I support the jobs plan. I support the president's reelection. I support Barack Obama. But at this hour, we need a plan that meets the size and the scope of the problem to put the American people to work.
And that's what you meant by going further.
But we've got to go further. I support what he does. Clearly, Republicans are not going to be for it. But if the administration can handle administratively what can be done, we should pursue it. And if there are extra constitutional opportunities that allow the president administratively to put the American people to work, he should pursue every single one of them.
On Capitol Hill, I'm Nicholas Palissy, the Daily Caller.
Not even FDR himself would have the balls to come right out and say something so asinine and stupid. Not even Lenin himself were he to rise up from that pickled box he's in right outside the Kremlin, would get up out of his mummified stupor and say something so stupid. Not Stalin, not Hitler, not Genghis Khan would have the balls to say something so stupid. First of all, the worst part of what this moron said was that the Democrats would have a permanent 15 million person voting block for the next 5 years, 10 years, or longer. That's the worst part of it. That's the worst part of it. That's where I got, that's the part that got me. These folks would be beholden to the government for their every need, employment, food, food for their children, where they, houses to live in, because if they don't vote the right way, they don't go along with the program, then they lose their livelihood. Did this idiot even think that? Or does he care? Does he care? I find this whole thing to be very disconcerting. For the reason that the President of the United States, Barack Insane Obama, has pretty much thrown up these trial balloons from time to time. You've all heard him say it. I really like to go around Congress. I wish I could go around Congress. I wish I mean, would I like nothing more than to go around Congress and enact legislation? But we got rules. We got a constitution. He said it many times. He's thrown it out there just to see what kind of feedback he was going to get. And unfortunately, very few people have challenged him on it. Just like very few people challenged him on the campaign trail when he said that we need a civilian security force, one just as well trained, just as well funded as the military in order to meet our national security goals. That should have thrown up a major red flag across the country. It didn't. Barely anybody noticed it. And barely did anybody notice when the president came out many times, gave many speeches, and threw the old trial balloon out there, laid the card down on the table, I'd like to bypass Congress. How many presidents, I mean, I'm 50 years old. I've been following politics for the last 25, 30 years, and I have not heard a president say ever that he'd like to bypass Congress. Jesse Jackson just taking it a step further. How many times has President Obama come out and said, I would really, you know, those fat cat bankers, those corporate jet owners, they need to pay their fair share. They need to pay their fair share. We only want what's fair. There's at a certain point, I do believe you've made enough money. And we need to decide how much money you're allowed to keep. He threw these phrases out there. They were throwaway lines, weren't they? Nobody really paid attention except me and maybe you. Is there anybody out there within the sound of my voice who doesn't believe that the people who are protesting on Wall Street and around the country did not pick up on these very few, very subtle words? So now Jesse Jackson has picked up on this whole deal about going around Congress, that Congress is dysfunctional, that Congress is in rebellion. Idiot. If I were in front of that fool right now, I tell you what, I'd have to give him a slapping around. I sure would. I would. I don't care who knows it. Idiot. Listen, the Congress is supposed to be in rebellion. That's the way the founding fathers set this whole deal up. Moron. My goodness. Things are really getting out of hand around here. When you have a clown like Jesse Jackson Jr. talking about employing 15 million people. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And while you're at it, employing these 15 million people at 40,000 a head, let's just go ahead and rip up the Constitution and just, you know, exercise extra constitutional means, whatever the hell that means. I am beside myself at this time. I'm very, very unhappy right now. Things have gotten far too out of hand. Far too out of hand. And you know what? It's going to get worse before it gets any better. It's going to get a whole lot worse. It's a sad state of affairs. Now, I'm not talking that we're going to have like a situation where we've got total civil war. Nobody wants that. But these guys are pushing the limits of what I believe the United States is going to stand for. I think there's going to be a point where they're going to just, things are just going to boil over. All this talk about subverting the Constitution, going around Congress, disregarding Congress, extra constitutional means and all that crap. What I find heartening about the whole thing is that the Obama administration's, Obama's poll numbers are dropping like a stone. We've even got Herman Cain, who for the most part is said to not have a snowball's chance in hell of winning the nomination, beating Barack Obama heads up in three different polls. The guy's poll numbers are dropping like a stone, and people like Jesse Jackson Jr. are not doing this guy any favors with this kind of crazy lunatic talk. Going around, how many of you heard about this stuff? How many of you out there who are listening to this show know that Jesse Jackson said this? Even to consider it, even to say it out loud, is blasphemous to the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, and worse, these folks actually believe it. They actually believe that they can get away with this kind of thing. I find it disconcerting. I find us on the verge of civil war in this country, which is something I do not want to see. Barack Hussein Obama has urged the us versus them. And yes, Melinda, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that clown, Tom Joyner. Yeah. In fact, we're going to get to that idiot right about now. Let me tell you something right now. Tom Joyner. Let's talk about Tom for a moment. Tom was working in Chicago. First of all, Tom Joyner is a founding member of the Commodores. He attended Tuskegee with Lionel Richie and all those guys. All the guys from the Commodores attended the same college, Tuskegee Institute. Pretty much, Tom Joyner couldn't sing worth a damn, and he was booted from the group. He went on to become a radio host, a radio disc jockey. He worked in Chicago at a radio station called WGCI. Back then, he was just a normal guy. He was just doing his show, and it was all good. He wasn't political at all. He wasn't all involved in Democrat, Republican, or anything like that. Liberal this. We didn't know what. I'm a native of Chicago. We didn't know what this guy's political preference was, and we didn't care. And he didn't tell us. All of a sudden, he became the fly jock, flying from Chicago to Dallas, doing a radio show in Dallas in the morning, and then flying to Chicago and doing the afternoon show. He was calling himself the hardest working man in radio because he flew from one place to the other in the same day. I guess the whole satellite thing really wasn't catching on at the time. Then all of a sudden, he blew up became famous because of the fly jock thing, got a syndicated show, and all of a sudden he decided he's going to be black now. He's going to be black. He's going to be a black militant. He, along with my high school classmate, Finger High School classmate, Finger Academy in Chicago, Illinois, Sybil Wilkes, decided they're going to be black now. Not only are they going to be black, they're going to be Black Panther black. They're going to be Dr. Cornel West, Black Panther, Huey Newton black. They're going to be Flavor Flav black and militant. Where the hell did this come from? So now, as Melinda in the chat room writes, Al Sharpton, Tom Joyner, reminds me of the show you had on Michelle Obama and Black Power, Tesla's show. That's right. And he did it, and it was a great show too. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. For several months, radio host and all of a sudden black man, Tom Joyner, has pleaded with his 8 million listeners to get in line behind the first black president. No matter that his policies suck all to be damned, no matter that the unemployment in the black community is at 17-18%, highest since the Clinton administration? No. Certainly at highest since the Reagan administration? No. Highest since Bush 1? No, Bush 2, right? No, oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. The unemployment number in the black community is highest since the Great Depression. Under a black president, the irony here is delicious. So now Tom Joyner is saying that his 8 million listeners should get in line behind the first black president, even though the first black president refuses to go into any black neighborhoods and talk to black folks. He has presided over an administration that has seen unemployment in the black community rise to astronomical levels. He's gone on to give a speech telling black people to shut up, get your boots on, and get out and get in people's faces for him. And he's done nothing for black folks, not one single thing. But it's all good because Barack Obama is supposed to be black. He's supposed to be a black man. Bill O'Reilly is blacker than Barack Obama. Are you kidding me? All right, listen. So Tom Joyner's saying to black folks, hey, never mind that whole 17% unemployment rate. Never mind that black people under a black president is suffering at the highest levels since the Great Depression. Oh, just forget all that. It's all good. He's black. Gotta love him. He's the baby. Stick together, black people, says Joyner. Stick together. The Reverend Al Sharpton jumped in. An ally of President Obama who has a daily radio show that nobody listens to, recently told the president's black critics, I'm not telling you to shut up. I'm telling you, don't make some of us have to speak up. What the hell does that mean? What does that mean? He said, he told the black president's critics, I'm not telling you to shut up. I'm telling you, don't make some of us have to speak up. Well, speak up. Speak up, Al, and speak up to the point of telling black folks that this president sucks the sweat off a dead man's balls. tell him, tell black folks that the president of the United States has presided over 17 percentage points of unemployment in the black community. Not George Bush, not his daddy, not Bill Clinton, not Ronald Reagan, not even Jimmy Carter. President Barack Hussein Obama. But we're supposed to stand by him because he's black. He's a black man. And we got to love him. Doesn't matter that he's leading us down the road to ruin. We have got to stand by him. Even as Obama and his campaign play down the suggestion that support among African Americans is flagging, and rightly so, a cadre of powerful allies is snapping back at critics in the black community, black critics within the black community, and making explicit appeals for racial loyalty. And I quote, "Let's not even deal with the facts right now. Let's just deal with our blackness and pride and loyalty." You heard me right. You heard me right. Tom Joyner said, "Let's not deal with the facts right now. Let's deal with just our blackness and pride and loyalty." Oh, okay. So not... Did you hear me? Let's not deal with the facts right now. Just our pride, our black pride. For a man who's pretty much half black, was not the products of slaves, has not a single slave in his entire lineage going back 500 years, didn't grow up in the hood, didn't grow up on the south side of Chicago like me, grew up in Hawaii, lived pretty damn good, attended all the best schools. But he's black like me, and I got to deal with my racial pride? And forget about the facts. You heard me right. Joyner wrote on his blackamericaweb.com blog, "We have the chance to reelect the first African-American president, and that's what we ought to be doing. And I'm not afraid or ashamed to say that as black people, we should do it because he's a black man." Tom Joyner is a moron too. He and Jesse Jackson Jr. So here you have it, folks. What I spoke to earlier at the very beginning of the show. White folks need not apply. Because it's not about whether you're competent. It's not about the content of your character. It's not about whether or not you can do the job anymore. You just have to be black and be able to speak the Queen's English relatively well. If you look good in a suit and you can speak well and you're black, then you deserve to be president of the United States. White folks need not apply anymore. And black people should not consider voting for anybody who's not black. Specifically, anybody who is not Barack Hussein Obama. Because Herman Cain is a hell of a lot blacker than Barack Obama. Of course he is. Grew up in Georgia, a working class family. Mom and dad in the same house at the same time. Father was a laborer, had three jobs. That's a black man. That's a black man. But of course, Herman Cain doesn't fit the mold because Herman Cain is saying that, hey, black folks, it's up to you. Do your own thing. Work hard. You'll get ahead. Black folks don't want to hear that. Because I'm ashamed to say, as a black man myself, that black people want something for nothing, for the most part. Not all, because I'm one who doesn't. And there are many more like me. But there are many more who want something for nothing. They want to be taken care of. They believe that whitey has done them wrong and earned them a living and reparations. 40 acres and a couple of mules, except it's like 60 acres and a Cadillac. Or is it a BMW now? I don't know. Black folks out there want to reelect Barack Hussein Obama, despite the fact that most black folks now under his administration are living in total poverty of epic proportions. But hey, don't worry about the facts, because Barack Hussein Obama is a black man, and we need him back in office so that he can bring those unemployment numbers even higher. Now, as a post story notes, the Washington Post, Joyner isn't some marginal figure. His radio program reaches 25% of all black adults living in America. He's using that megaphone to urge black folks to vote as a monolithic block based solely on skin color, and to disregard, and I quote, the facts, end quote. In doing so, don't worry about the facts. Has this country gone crazy? Has this country gone mad all of a sudden? You got to be kidding me. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Vote for Barack Hussein Obama solely because he's black, and disregard that whole thing about the unemployment figures and all that. Don't worry about that. We'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Good morning, January 20th, 2017, the last day of Barack Obama's 8 years as president. 8 tough years for many as unemployment continues climbing.
With debt to China reaching record levels, some analysts believe the Chinese have overtaken the United States.
8 years ago, we were promised hope. Today, many believe their American dream has been lost.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
He promised to change direction. $800 billion in stimulus. Trillions for government health care. 2 million jobs. Gone. Left turn after left turn. America's headed the wrong way fast. 6 million foreclosures. $14 trillion in debt. $500 billion in higher taxes. And the worst long-term unemployment in generations. Don't let Obama drive us to disaster. Change direction.
Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I remember America. Sure, you can still find it on a map, but nobody older than 20 thinks this is America. Even if coordinates are the same, we've lost our compass. You don't have a direction without reference, a true north. For America, it was liberty. When we lost the love of liberty, our understanding of liberty, it was just a matter of time before the rest of it was lost. Some think it started when the auto companies were nationalized, or the police state to control the internet, or when certain companies couldn't fail because their relationship with politicians made them too big to fail, and the rest of us, without political influence, were too small to succeed. Sure, that all happened pretty quickly, over just a couple of years, but liberty had been gradually devolving for decades. Some of the more astute, like Ayn Rand, saw it about 50 years before others. She warned us. But people didn't believe it could happen here until it did. Laws had been used to loot productive individuals and businesses, but in the new millennium, under Bush, then Obama, graft, corruption, and crony capitalism were no longer hidden behind closed doors. The looters and their laws came out of hiding like rabid animals that were no longer afraid of humans. It was brought into the spotlight, and it was celebrated as enlightened economic policy. Ayn Rand asked the question in Atlas Shrugged that the rest of us were asking 60 years later. Which failing financial institution will the administration pluck from the flames of crisis? And which will it let roast? Which market or investment technique will the regulators bless? and which, in a capricious change of rules, will it condemn or outlaw? As John Galt said in his radio address,
"You decided you had a right to your wages, but we had no right to our profits. You called it selfish and cruel that men should trade value for value, but you've now established an unselfish society where they trade extortion for extortion."
People who had never produced or managed anything tried to manage every aspect of our lives, and they brought production to a standstill. And eventually, they decided to micromanage the food supply in the name of fairness and safety. And we all know what happened then. Fiction can be a powerful influence, for good or bad. It's too bad more people didn't read Atlas Shrugged. They might have realized where this was heading.
And we're back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Value for value. Where's the value in voting for an African American, a black man, just because he's black? We all knew, some of us knew, a lot of us suspected that Barack Obama, with his limited amount of experience, his limited skills, was elected president simply because America wanted to exercise its affirmative action doctrine. But here's what happens when affirmative action is at play. You get a less than competent worker. When you hire a person solely based upon their race, most of the time you're going to get an incompetent individual. I remember a lot of jobs I applied for outside the government upon retirement, within the government, gave me 10 to 20 points over my white competitor just because I am black. I got 10 points when I looked into joining the Defense Intelligence Agency for being black. I got another 10 points off the exams because I was military personnel. So that's 20 points over my white competitor who may not have served in the military, and 10 points over a white competitor who probably served as much time as I did, just because I'm a black man. Where's the fairness there? I understand the whole thing about, well, black folks have been down so long that we need a helping hand. We need to be able to catch up. We need to, in order to level the playing field, to make it all fair, we need to catch up. Well, damn it, if we haven't caught up by all this time and are employed based on merit and the ability to actually do the job other than our skin color, we don't need that job. I don't need that job. I won't take it. Because basically what this whole affirmative action thing is, well, Negro, we understand that you're not as smart as the average white guy, so we're going to give you a leg up so that you can have the job over Mr. White Man. Because back in 200 years ago, we wouldn't let your great-great-grandfather read. And so somehow that slowed your intellectual ability now, all these years later. So you're not smart enough. You're not as smart as the average white person. So we're going to give you an extra 10 points in order to help you out. Usually, when this is done, we have incompetent people working in very important jobs. So what happened here with the president of the United States is he's an incompetent moron who, just because he's black and he can speak the Queen's English and he wears a nice suit, he got to be president of the United States. He's incompetent. But you have Tom Joyner saying, don't worry about that. He's black. Vote for him. Put him in office. He deserves it because, hey, for 400 years, the man has been keeping us down. So now, here's our chance to get to be the man, albeit the incompetent man. Black people should be disgusted with, finally disgusted with Tom Joyner and the Reverend Al Sharpton for playing us for fools, saying that we should employ this idiot again, regardless of the facts, regardless of whether or not he can actually do the job. We have a call on the line. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Caller.
Hey, Doc Jones. It's Eric from Fall River Territory.
Hey, Eric. Good to have you.
Hey.
What are your thoughts?
I was going to harken your mind back. I mean, because you were talking about your government work. I'm going to harken your days back to being within the DOD itself, you know. And if you might recall how it was almost like it was by the time that the real first black president was elected, you know, Billy Bob.
Yeah.
And when he was elected, it was almost as if when it came to NCO promotion boards, it was like a hidden – it was like a hidden, unwritten rule of, hey, give the guys of color a little more slack and leeway and, you know, pump up their points a little bit so they'll at least go ahead and be able to get promoted a little quicker.
That's exactly right.
But the one place that didn't happen is combat arms, because combat arms is the only place that stuck to its guns. It's like, no, do you make the cutoff, yes or no? It was all the other places that Huey Newton and Bobby Seale told them to go. Jack on the steps of courthouse. Remember back in 72,
mm-hmm.
you know, the black man ain't gonna be the white man's cannon fodder no more.
No more.
You will have a chance to choose in an all volunteer army, and they were that close to getting rid of the draft. And they literally, if it weren't for those militant, violent Black Panthers, it would have taken another 2 years for the all-volunteer military to come along. That's one good thing that came from it. The bad thing that came from it, I'll let you go ahead and talk about the RIMPs.
Yeah.
What did the RIMPs become?
Well, enlighten the audience, because I want to hear what your take is.
It became nothing more than a Mason's Lodge.
Yeah.
Or a Shriner's Lodge. Or a civic hand meeting or a rotary meeting, because suddenly the fraternal brotherhood that you were a member of and you were playing the ring knocker games superseded military regulations. Does that cast a reminder back for you?
Yeah, it does.
Yo, man. Yo, my fellow G, what's up? Bam.
Yeah,
I got some spare stuff. You know, and then, of course, El Hispaniola walks in and goes, yo, hey, mira, you got any riser cord?
Yeah.
Yo, man, I ain't got jack.
Yeah, it turned the situation upside down. Military discipline went out of the window, too.
Well, and it's really bad, too, because you had, I remember the first instance that really smacked me in the face, because prior to Operation Restore Hope and then turned into Continue Hope,
mm-hmm.
it was an all-volunteer special operations force. When they suddenly started getting all these guys that were just picked from the big Department of the Army computer in the sky and just dropped into our pot, and then I saw how our legal guys suddenly went from 5 to being 15 because we had so many Article 15s that were in the point of being processed and they were being overworked, I saw a trend.
Explain what an Article 15 is for the
non-judicial.
It's
non-judicial, non-court martial punishment.
NJP. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As we call in the Marine Corps office hours.
Right, exactly. Or the masthead.
Yeah.
Or the drumhead, as it was called in, isn't that the Royal Forces of both Canada and
the
Royal Marines? Call it the drumhead, because basically the old adage was on the field after the field of battle was over, if you had somebody who was incapable, the commander would turn the drum over on its side. He would make the guy sit on a stump, and he would do summary judgment right there. And usually it was harsh, cruel, and bitter. But we saw the trend and the work ethic and the kind of personnel that were coming in. And it didn't matter what spectrum of the color of their skin. We just saw, and I'm talking about from the special operations side of the house, we saw a trend of work ethic, just and not just work ethic, but literally dedication to duty and patriotism just dropped like a rock.
Yeah, yeah. Morale went out the window, and I recall, although I wasn't a Marine at the time, when we had the race riots at Camp Lejeune back in the late 60s, early 70s. Where military discipline completely went out the window. Yeah, you're exactly right, and I'm glad you brought the subject up, because we're seeing right now, when we get involved in doing business as a country based solely on one skin color, and we have folks like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and this clown Tom Joyner. Propping up President Barack Obama, saying, forget about the facts for now.
Ignore the resume. Ignore the history.
Yeah. Ignore the fact that the guy's incompetent. He's a black man. Yeah. We got to stand behind him. Yeah. I don't think so.
I just figured I'd toss my 2 cents worth in on that, Doc. Thanks again for letting me
I do appreciate the call. Thank you, Flyover. Flyover has a great show. You guys got to check him out. Okay. Look for him on Blog Talk Radio. All right. Flyover's the man. He's on a lot of shows. I mean, he offers a great amount of wisdom and insight, especially into military matters. So here we go, folks. This week is jumping off just right with all sorts of juicy tidbits and news about what's going on in the Obama administration. Crazy talk. Put Barack Obama back in the White House just because he's black. Just because he's black. And forget about the Constitution. Let's exercise some extraordinary constitutional powers and go around Congress and employ 15 million people. And we've got our newly minted hippies for 2011-2012 protesting people who actually produce and make money. The world has gone completely to hell. You heard me? In the meantime, we're just looking on and saying, what the... and talking about it here on Blog Talk Radio. As Flyover knows and Rapid Fire has said, we are here now. We're occupying Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to talk about it all. Thank you guys for being here tonight. I do appreciate it. You guys are great. Have a great night. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. I do believe that I'm going to have a special guest host for the next couple of days, because I'm going to be out of town. So stay tuned. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
of windmills and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe what I've become. Revolutionary way. Pull my head on a silver tray, just a puppet on a lonely string. Or who would ever want to be true? I hear Jerusalem bells ringing, Roman cavalry choirs singing. Mirror, mirror, my sword and shield, a missionary in a far
away. Even for our child's college fund, it's getting expensive.
Yes, it was. So to save some money, we taught our five-year-old math class. It was easier looking at the guy who got a college.